This is the Jason and Alexis Show podcast, presented by our delightful friends at The Free House. When you listen to the podcast, you can thank The Free House. We thank them all the time, right, Lex?
Oh, we love The Free House. Thank you, Free House.
Thank you, Free House, and thanks for the beer.
Lex and Dawn, I have a great idea.
Yes?
Thank you for asking. I would like to take you two out to lunch. Are you game?
Let's do it. Where are we going?
We are going to the Lowry. I love the Lowry.
Ooh.
It's one of my favorite places. They have such good apps, and there are various ways that they can serve you. Three ways. First, we can go inside, or you can order online for the Lowry from one of their delivery partners, or you can pick it up from the restaurant. Should we go inside, though?
Yeah, let's go inside. Let's go have some breakfast.
Okay, and then we'll get some food to go, and it's all my treat.
Can we get food for like 3 days? I'm just asking for a friend.
I think you're kind of stretching my generosity, but they do have amazing breakfast and mimosa flights and Bloody Marys. But Dawn, I don't think you can get the Bloody Marys to go.
All right.
Ooh, and it's Bloody Marys all day, every day.
Well, but I thought Mama needed a beer. Don't you want some Free House beer at the Lowry?
Yeah, actually, let's do it all. Why not? I'm
Dawn,
thirsty, and I get out.
I guess I'll be driving.
You are driving. You can make reservations. You can check out the menu. You can order pickup, and you can order online at thelowryuptown.com. Welcome to the 8 o'clock and final hour of Jason and Alexis in the morning. I might talk 107.1, everything entertainment, everything just plain goofiness to make you laugh. I'm Jace with Lex, Dawn, and Kenny. We have a great 8 o'clock hour ahead, actually. Let me set the table here. We have a guest standing by. We'll talk to him. We have the dirt alert, and then the moment Alexis has been waiting for. It is Forced Movie Review Friday. She is reviewing Dawn's assignment of Creep. 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 Another movie Kenny and I starred in. So, yeah, there we go. Okay. Yeah. I can't wait to hear this. Okay, but first, hey, Dawn, do you want to introduce our guest this hour?
Yes, we have James Falvey from Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly on the phone with us. It, of course, is our charity for Project Down and Dirty this year. And Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly, I've been involved with the organization, helping seniors out there combat loneliness. And we have James on the phone with us right now. Hi, James.
Good morning.
Good morning.
James, if for people that don't know, I mean, if they're maybe new to our show, haven't heard Dawn's great stories over the years, explain a little bit, broad strokes, about what Little Brothers does.
Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly is an organization that's been working here in the Twin Cities since 1972 with a really simple mission, which is to connect lonely and socially isolated older adults with volunteers and people who can bring friendship into their lives.
Wow. Well, we've had such a great time getting to know Liz, who we talked to on Tuesdays here on our show. Can you give us an idea of just how many in the Twin Cities there are and how you guys reach out to find volunteers and elderly who want to be part of the program?
Yeah, you know, getting to the numbers of people who are isolated is really hard. But what we've done is done some kind of what we call napkin math and figure that statewide, there's probably a little bit over 50,000 older adults who live by themselves. They're over 65 years of age and lack the social supports to be connected. But one of the challenges is that there's rarely is it like somebody just all lonely or all engaged. Everyone's kind of on a continuum. And so we kind of look at people who are at risk to become socially isolated all the way through to those people who are completely alone and not hearing their names spoken for a long time. And so when we get to that, it's around 50,000 or more people that could really use our help.
Wow.
And so whenever you are looking for elders, it's like if people out there are listening and they know a neighbor or somebody in their community that, like, for instance, across the street from us, the woman recently just passed away, but we used to bring her newspaper up to the front of her drive, you know, by her garage, because we noticed how long it took her to get down to the edge of the curb. That would be a good example of, you know, somebody who might not have the help and support there. So how do people get a hold of you if they want to, you know, reach out to somebody who they think might be lonely?
Well, it's super easy just to go to our website, littlebrothersmn.org. Mm-hmm. Even just Googling Little Brothers Minnesota will bring you right to our website. And we make it super easy for people to sign up. You can refer an older adult friend into our programs, and we can reach out to them. On our website, you can also see a phone number to call if you wanted to share that with your neighbor so she or he could just call them themselves and, mm-hmm. and talk to somebody or leave a message so that we can get right back to them. And we try to keep it really simple and quick for people.
Are you seeing some positive, if you just tuned in, we're talking to James from Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly, who, if you're listen to our show, you're familiar with our good friend Liz. Are you, we constantly try to look for positives in the negatives that have come from COVID. But James, I would imagine the exposure of Liz here and the exposure of the need in other forms of media. Have you seen some positive signs? Have you seen some good numbers as far as people joining the program? And if so, I would imagine that has to make you just feel great.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You know, we've seen an over 100% increase in the number of people reaching out to our organization to participate either as older adults or as volunteers. Mm-hmm. And that's really terrific. And I think another thing too, Jason, that you point out is, you know, what's the positive side of the coin? And that is, I think a lot more people are really starting to connect with what social isolation really feels like.
Yeah.
Where most of us, when we're living our busy lives, you know, we don't stop to think about stuff like that ever. But now that many of us are kind of finding ourselves separated from our family and loved ones as we go into the holiday season here in the winter season, when we see how dark and cold it is outside, we know that we're not going to be able to get out and about as much. And making and maintaining these connections is really important. And yeah, so it helps people really connect with our mission, I think.
Right. And you've really had to pivot too because of COVID to really focus on phone companionship. So that I'm sure for your own organization, and the money that we raise, what kind of impact will that have and where does it go?
Well, you know, the money that we can raise is really going to help us continue to expand our reach and reach out to more volunteers and reach out to more older adults so that they can find a pathway in. One of the things that's really hard is older adults as a group tend to be incredibly independent. They rarely like to ask for help. And even when you offer help, they don't always want to accept it. So we have to get really creative and not just work with relationships that we have with elder care facilities where people are living together, but also work with social service agencies, other nonprofit organizations to really help reach out and find people. And also working with a wonderful radio station like yours to put out onto the airwaves that we're out here, we can help. You know, you can refer your neighbor either through conversation or through our online website. And, you know, it's just so when we think about where these donations go, it helps us market this organization. It also mm-hmm. helps us support the people who come in. So we have wonderful support for our volunteers, but we also have wonderful support for our older adults. Most of the time, older adults get involved in a friendship and it just runs really smoothly. It runs really, really great. But every once in a while, we'll have a volunteer who will reach back to us and say, you know what, this wonderful person I'm speaking to, I'm really concerned about them. You know, maybe they're showing signs that they don't have enough food to eat. Maybe they're showing signs that they need maybe medical care or something. And that's where our staff can step in and become really good advocates. Mm-hmm. It's not our job to be social workers, but when we know an older adult has needs that aren't being met through the friendships that we help curate, we can start making phone calls to other agencies to make sure that everybody in our community is really well supported.
Well, we will do, speaking of support, we will do whatever we can next week when Project Down and Dirty launches to help raise awareness and funds for you. James, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate all your wonderful support. Oh,
thank you.
Bye, James.
Have a great weekend. Bye now.
You too.
Put a link up on our show page, of course, too, if you want to check more about the program.
Yep, because it's next week. It's Project Down and Dirty. I'm getting nervous. I'm very nervous.
Are you?
Still, but as I said on the 6 o'clock hour, the unknown, you know, the unknown.
Are you worried about the acting part, Jason?
No, I act every day.
Because,
but
have no fear. Orson Welles couldn't act a lick, and he was
perfect.
In this thing.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and don't tell B. I'm going to do my homework this weekend because there's nothing else to do. I mean, it's snowing, and there's only so many pull tabs I can play. So I'm going to be doing all of our homework that B. Arthur assigned us this weekend. I know Kenny did it. Refresh my memory. Have you guys done it?
I did. Yes. Well, I listened to it again right after we talked about it and it was announced. So I was like, I'm not really as familiar. So I had already done that. And then I watched the behind the scenes thing. Was it yesterday? I think.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, you get an A+. I still
have to. Well, it's going to be good. It's really interesting how the reactions of people who were tuned away, and then when they tuned in, they didn't get the memo that this wasn't real.
Right, because that was at the beginning of the broadcast.
Yeah.
And they were watching Charlie McCarthy, this ventriloquist puppet, at the time.
Which is just frightening.
So when they went to music, they were like, oh, let's tune in, figure out what else is on, and then...
With Candace Bergen's dad, by the way, a little fun fact, a little Murphy Brown fun fact. Yeah, it's Candace Bergen's father. And can we just talk about ventriloquist dummies for just a second? Why was that ever a thing? Can I just ask that? It's a general pop culture. It's a popular culture question.
Isn't that what Dunham does?
I think so. It's just very scary to me. And now, whenever
it's
I think of it,
hard to do that. It's a skill, Jace.
I have never been able to watch the dummy because I'm always watching the dummy holding the dummy to see his lips move, and they always move.
Yeah, I I'm just curious. I would love to have one of these artists because they are. It's an art. I would love to have one of these performers on our show because all of our dreams, no matter what they are, you know, Kenny was listening to the radio when he was a kid. Alexis was eating jellyfish off her arm when she decided, she wanted to be a big time radio person. I want to know the origin of a ventriloquist. Like, what was the moment that made you say, "Ooh, I want to stick my arm up a puppet and talk for him"? You know, I'm not being facetious. I want to know the origin story of a ventriloquist.
Is it a puppetry?
A
thank
is
you.
Is it a puppetry thing?
Maybe it's a love of puppets.
There's a My Strange Addiction episode about this woman who has a lot of ventriloquist dolls, and she can't go anywhere without them. And practices like 12 hours a day. She's out on the street with them. And, they try to get her over her addiction because she couldn't really talk. It was like an alter egos for her. She didn't feel good about expressing herself, like in a snarky way or in a way that was kind of creepy. You know what I mean? So it was a way for her to get out this personality that she had inside of her, but she just could do it through puppets.
Ew.
From puppets.
So why do we think that is kind of different, as we say, but we don't think puppeteers are abnormal at all?
Yeah, like Frank Oz. Lex Frank loves Oz. It all.
Think it's such a hard thing to do. Have you guys ever tried?
Okay.
You're right.
There's a dorky look. Missouri, yeah.
I'm talking without moving my lips right now. It's really easy. You can understand every word I'm saying, can't you?
Lex,
have to move your hands at the same time and move his body.
Lex, I'm not discounting your opinion or point of view, but I mean, we are talking about you. I mean, a woman who has an army of satanic dolls. Of course you would find this interesting.
I just tweeted this part of My Strange Addiction. It's the full episode of April and her puppet addiction. And, you know, when I tweet things, I'm thinking about, like, people that don't listen to the show, somebody that just looks at my Twitter. I have the weirdest stuff on here.
Yep.
It's just...
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is...
You're not exactly normal, McClain.
None of us are. Look at the time. 8:18, the Dirt Alert with Weird McClain is next. Stay with us.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Wondering, are you sitting there right now wondering, hey, I wonder what's going on in entertainment?
Yes.
Okay, if you are, I have good news for you. Dawn is here with the Dirt Alert.
Okay. That's right. Let's get this story out of the way because it's, you know, pretty depressing. there was a lawsuit out there against Michael Jackson's estate from James Safechuck. If you remember, he was a part of the documentary Leaving Neverland that you can still see. Is it on Netflix or...
HBO.
Yes, so he was one of Michael Jackson's accusers. Well, that was an ongoing case, and it looks like a judge has dismissed this over these alleged abuse claims. He's dismissed the case because he says that James and his legal team presented no facts to support their key argument.
Oh,
now
lack of evidence.
Lack of evidence. And Michael Jackson fans, you know, have been tweeting like crazy. That's why you have seen maybe hashtag MJ innocent. People saying he's been innocent since day one, and we will stop at nothing to prove that. Just other tweets about Michael Jackson and how he's never. It's the media's fault that, you know, like people like Piers Morgan, who have just made him into a monster, and over the years he's just always been innocent. Your thoughts?
I will respectfully disagree. Mm-hmm. And you know how I feel about the generic blanket media. Media is the blame for all evils.
Yeah, me too.
I hate that. And I love when people do it. I love when people do it in front of me, and I look
You're
at them like
I am in the media,
and I look at them like, do I bust on your profession? And they do it with such ease. With such ease. I'm like, I'm sitting right here. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, well, sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. And look, this fire, this case may not be true. I don't know. But there's a lot of other cases. And I don't know. I have a hard time
I haven't seen it, but I've heard that it's pretty convincing. Like
it is pretty compelling. I've seen it. Yes, yeah. It's very compelling.
Oh boy. Okay. Carole Baskin is upset at Joe Exotic again.
Oh no.
Because, I mean, how this guy continues to irritate her and make her mad, and her legal team, they fired off a cease and desist letter to Joe and his team because he's putting out these
what kind of baskets are they? Wicker baskets?
They are boxers, and they're called Casket Baskin is the name of these, and it is basically, if you look at the design, it's kind of like Baskin Robbins. But it's because it's an ice cream cone.
Don't you mean Baskin Robbins?
Baskin Robbins. It's an ice cream cone, and it is red, like the ice cream is red, like Baskin Robbins. And then there's a bunch of blood droplets everywhere.
Oh my gosh!
So it looks like a bloody cone.
Oh, stupid!
It's weird.
Stop
Who wants
it.
That on their boxers?
No one
anyway?
Buy these.
No, yeah. Please, no
Casket
one.
Casket Baskin. How is he making money off of merch in jail?
Yeah.
Now, she's threatening legal action if he doesn't pull the merch because they're called Casket Baskin. And she's demanding a full accounting of any sales that they've made off of merch featuring or referring to her name or likeness. I guess you can make money while you're in jail if you have somebody, you know.
Yeah, your husband's out there, right, hawking it, or your team.
Unfortunately, you know, you said don't buy these. Joe's underwear line is selling like hotcakes. The top seller is the Casket Baskin boxer briefs, which are going for $29 a pop. So there could be a lot of money at stake here.
Sarah wants that money, too, probably.
She wants the money, too. She'd probably sell them on her own. We know that she's
She's this, I don't want to say slimy, that's a bellable
They're
dramatic,
all slimy, but that whole show, everybody on there.
Yeah, and fine, you know I'll what, I always think, well, if it's going to feed the tigers, I guess it's okay, you know.
What, feed the tigers? Can they get some better food than some old Walmart pizzas?
I'm saying, yeah, the maybe, free stuff.
Exactly.
Fired.
Oh, boy. All right. And just finally here, this is exciting news if you're a fan of Tim Burton. He is putting together a live action TV series based on the Addams Family.
Oh, okay. Yes. I could be down for this.
The developers and executive producers from Smallville are helping write and produce. No word yet. It's just this is a deadline article. It doesn't have a place yet, but that's kind of fun, isn't it? I love Tim Burton, and Adam's Family is perfect for him.
Yep. I was just going to say, great marriage of creator or producer and property.
Mm-hmm.
A good marriage there. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't need to be remade, but if it's going to be, give it to Tim Burton.
Exactly.
At the very least. We're going to give it to you in the form of forced movie reviews. Alexis comes face to face with a creep. And I'm not talking about me and Kenny. You'll find out what we mean when we come back.
I can't believe you're making me do this.
Why do we have to talk about that?
Do I have to?
Forced movie reviews.
You forced me to do this.
Welcome back. Jason and Alexis in the morning. I'm Jace with Lex, Dawn, and Kenny. It's time for Forced Movie Review Friday. Dawn assigned Alexis the horror movie made for about $7. Creep. Take it away, Lex.
It is a $7 movie. Oh, Dawn, I bit all of my nails off.
You did?
And I'm so annoyed at myself and you for that. In fact, I blame you.
Oh, good. It's on Netflix, so anyone can watch it.
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh. And this movie, I'm confused by it because there were a few bright spots, but in general, I hated the entire thing the whole time. I wanted the main guy to just die already because he made the worst choices ever for himself. And why wouldn't you, once you get some information, you leave? You just get up and leave. The guy's asleep on the fireplace mantle, or what's below the mantle, whatever. He's sleeping there. You get out and you run. Yeah,
he didn't have his car keys.
It doesn't matter. It's not like he's in the absolute woods. There are neighbors. You see them. Go to the neighbor's house. Go down the main road. I mean, come on, dude. What's wrong with you? I think he's a masochist himself. I think he liked this guy who... Okay, so here's the premise. There's two guys in the movie. One guy puts out an ad and says, hey, I need a videographer for one day. I'll give you $1,000. This young guy, he answers it. And what I loved about this movie is they get right into it. He's making like a home video. So you see him in his car and he's like, maybe it's this hot woman who's looking for massages all day. And, you know, he's like kind of fantasizing that this might be a fun thing for him.
You know.
Oh, no, no. He gets to the house. There's all these stairs. He gets up. He's winded. He knocks on the door. Guy's not there. Then he goes down to wait in his car. But you can see he has neighbors. It's not as remote as you'd think it would be.
Right.
And then the guy scares him. And he's like, okay, come on, let's go. And there is this anticipation of, we know this is a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to happen? So you think, okay, this is going to be scary. It's going to happen now. That's where I think I bit my nails off because it was just like...
suspenseful. Okay.
It's very suspenseful. Like, it's going to happen now. So they get into the house and he's like, hey, thank you so much. You know, I've been diagnosed with cancer. I beat it once, but it's back. And I want to make a film for my unborn baby. My wife is pregnant right now because this is like their vacation home. Mm-hmm. And he says that. And then he says, so I want to make a video for my kid I'm calling Buddy. And so just, you know, life lessons. And here we go. So first, let's take a tubby. Which
I knew it.
Which a tubby is, let's go take a bath.
Okay.
So the very first thing he does is film the guy taking a bath.
Okay.
How awkward is this?
Can I tell you, I because I want to have a visual, I didn't get the chance to watch it this week.
Okay.
I have Netflix, I almost cussed there. I have Netflix punched up.
Yeah.
And I just dropped the needle toward the beginning. And I'm seeing him with his pants pulled down in the bathroom. The hell is this?
You're going to love this movie, Jason.
Good Lord.
This is the first thing. Like, when as a filmmaker, you go, okay, this is a little bit weird. Okay. But then there are so many examples and the dude stays. Like, come on, guy. You deserve to die if you didn't, you know, get any of these cues. So that's the first thing. He takes a tubby. He pretends that the baby is there and he's like stroking air, basically. He's got candles lit. And these are two men One's in the tub. The other guy's filming. He breaks it a little bit by asking Aaron, that's the filmmaker, a few questions once in a while. Then he's like, all right, we just took a tubby. Let's go to the park. And then they go to this wooded park area. And I'm thinking, what the heck's wrong with you, dude? And then they drive his car. Then there's just some weird things that happen there. And then instead of going, okay, well, this has been really fun, they come back. It's dark because he gets kind of lost in the woods. They go back and he's like, all right, gotta go. And I'm like, good instincts, guy. Yes, time to leave.
But does he?
No, of course not. The guy's like, I want to pour you some whiskey. Hello.
Just have a drink with me. Don't leave yet.
Oh. Then he's talking about his wife, Angela, and he says, hey, Aaron, turn the camera off for a second. Dude doesn't turn the camera off, but he just covers the lens. And so you hear this conversation. Basically, he admits to dressing up in a wolf costume and entering this residence while his wife is sleeping and sexually assaulting her. At that point, don't you just get up and go? Because he's already given him a whole bunch of whiskey. Guy passes out in the fireplace. He's looking for his keys, can't find him. Then the guy's phone rings. It's Angela.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Guess
Angela.
What, guys?
Yeah.
Angela is not his wife. It
Angela?
Is his sister. Yeah. And the sister is saying,
oh,
hey,
love of,
you need to get out of that house immediately. So, of course, he's looking for his keys. He's trying.
Because my brother's not right.
He's not right. Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going on. He's not right. So somehow this guy gets out of all of this, and he gets to go home, okay?
Yeah, and you're thinking, wow, he's in the clear.
Yeah, this is good. This is great. Okay, wonderful. There's some other little weird things. I guess when he walked up to the house the first time, he took pictures of him, and he admits to that at the restaurant. Like, they go to a restaurant. They're in the woods. Like, this guy gets out, and he doesn't think, I'm going to call the police because this was a weird experience. No. Instead, he accepts gifts from the guy. He gets DVDs, watches them. He gets a locket with their creepy pictures inside. And
yes.
Instead of keeping it for evidence, Don, he throws them away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or doesn't call the police. Then the guy's like, hey. He gets into his house and takes video of him. And he's like, meet me at the park. I need your help. Somehow this guy, Aaron, feels empathy for this weirdo and decides to meet him at the park. And then he's sitting at the park bench, and, you know, it's a public park, so he's thinking, okay, I'm safe. How do you not hear someone behind you? You know there's a presence. You know that you're meeting this person. I've watched Catfish enough. They always meet at the park, right?
Yeah.
You're looking around. You might not have Neve with you, but you're looking around because this guy, where is he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
And, what should have probably happened in the first 10 minutes of the film finally happens. And then, yeah, dude gets in his car and basically has the whole thing on a DVD and moves on to the next schmuck.
It's a great film.
So, wait a minute. I just zoned out there for a second. Is the filmmaker killed?
Yes. You just have to watch. Okay.
No.
Wait, yes, no.
Just watch it, Kenny.
I'm not watching it. No, there's no chance in hell I'll watch it.
I guess this did come out in 2014, so.
Yeah.
I never would have hit play on this.
It's really good, though, because you don't expect it. You do not expect the ending. You really don't, and there's more to it after that.
Yeah, there's. I'm missing a lot of pieces.
How does this garbage even get made?
It's not garbage. It's a great independent film that was very low budget to make, and they made ton of money off of it.
Oh,
it's really a clever script.
There's a lot of boring Pete parts, but you're right. I've seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I dropped the needle toward the end.
Yeah.
Where
are you? I wonder if he's seen Peach Fuzz yet.
Well, yeah, I have. Crazy Wolfman is clipping his hair in bed.
Oh, right. That's after he's free and he knows where he lives and he's getting happy mail from him. Not so happy.
Yeah. Well, that mask, he calls it Peach Fuzz.
Yeah. Well, if I wake up and Peach Fuzz is my face, we have a problem. 8. Okay. Well, So Alexis was punished watching Creep, so she'll take her anger out on me when she assigns me a horrible action movie. We'll find out what it is when we come back.
I can't believe you're making me do this.
Why do we have to talk about that?
Do I have to?
Forced Movie Reviews.
You forced me to do this.
Well, that's going to do it for us today, everybody. Stay right there.
No.
Stay right there. Donna and Steve coming up next, everybody. Here's Michael Bublé. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Sorry. Not quite.
Okay.
Wrong song.
Wrong.
No, it's...
Well,
no.
That's part it's of the just song. A different part.
Yeah, it's the right... Yeah, no, that's it. Anyway.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. Forced Movie Review Friday concludes. Alexis had to watch Creep, and now she's going to take revenge on a creep, me. So what do you have for me, Lex?
Okay, I'm excited because I really do love this movie, and I'm hoping that you do too. Mm. A My Talker, Maria, a big shout out to you. Thank you for suggesting this. She messaged me, and I thought, you know what? Yes, I wanted to have a film of his assigned to you. So let's go straight to the trailer. It's a 1997 action thriller.
Yeah.
Cameron Poe is taking the first plane home to his wife and daughter.
Today's flight is a special one. We're populating Louisiana's Felton Penitentiary. These guys are the worst of the worst.
See a lot of celebrities among us. I see 11 primetime lives, 3 Regis and Kathy Lees, and a genuine 2020 interviewee.
What you looking at, punk?
Nothing. I was just admiring your cage.
But one wrong flight.
Stewardess, what's the in-flight movie today?
Can ruin your whole day.
What happened? We caught the plane, man!
Welcome to Con Air,
Jason.
Yeah.
No. Welcome to Con Air.
Oh, boy.
Lots of explosions, high tension. It's a Jerry Bruckheimer movie. We've got Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, John Malkovich.
Yeah, they're prisoners on a plane. They've taken
over. You have to
watch
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage with a weird accent that I can't really pinpoint. Maybe Southern. And his hair is like a long mullet. It's really bad.
Yeah.
1997 action.
Woohoo!
Oh, Nicolas Cage, really?
Uh-huh.
Really?
It's one of his best films, actually.
Again, that's like saying so tallest. Funny. That's like saying tallest Munchkin. Come on.
Yep. Yes. This is not tallest Munchkin movie.
Not a good thing, Lex. Yeah.
Oh man.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be great. I can't wait to hear what you think of this. You haven't seen it, huh?
I can tell you with the utmost certainty that has never been put into a VCR, DVD player, or streaming stick ever owned by me. No.
Yes.
Hold on.
What do you think is worse, Con Air or Snakes on a Plane? They've got to be tied.
Con Air. Snakes on a Plane is at least funny.
It's kitchen.
Yeah, this is horrible.
Con Air. How can he watch it? Do you know? Does he have to pay for it?
Hold on, I'll find out.
I didn't even look.
You know all the stupid, sappy romantic comedies or just romance movies I had to pay $4 for?
Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry.
On Amazon Prime.
Oh.
It is?
But do you have to buy it or does it just come with it?
Let me see.
Where can I watch Con Air?
Prime.
Hold on a minute.
Okay. I found this on the web for where can I watch Con Air?
Prime Video. But let me see.
Subscription. Okay, you don't have to pay for it.
I don't?
No.
No. Oh,
it comes
with
your subscription.
You're welcome.
Or apparently the AMC app.
The AMC app. What the hell is that?
AMC.
Oh.
Walking Dead, the network.
Oh, yeah. I actually can play it. Oh. It's 2 hours?
Oh, it's so good. It is so good.
Mm. It's 2 hours?
Oh, Ving Rhames is in it.
There's nothing Nick Cage is in that could be considered so good.
No.
Steve Buscemi's in it.
You'll want to watch it for John Malkovich alone.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's way over the top.
He's evil.
Gee, I wonder if Danny Trejo plays a good guy or a bad guy.
Yeah.
Poor Danny Trejo's always cast as like a criminal.
Yeah. Yep. He's been in like five that Alexis has assigned me. So
that's true. I do like
really
him.
Sincerely. Yes, he's in every movie you've ever assigned me. But,
oh man.
Oh well.
But this is the first Nick Cage one. So.
Oh yay!
Wow.
Yay!
Yeah.
This is
we've only just begun.
Thank you, Karen Carpenter. Yeah, this is wonderful. Oh, I can't wait to go home and not watch this weekend. Yes.
Oh yeah. Everyone have fun weekend plans.
Not watching this. No, I'm not. No. No. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, I deserve it. I made Dawn watch Stealing Home, so I deserve this. But I will tell you this. I am locked and loaded. So enjoy your week, Dawn McClain. Enjoy your week.
You already know what you're assigning me?
Oh, yeah. And I will tell you, this was also recommended by a My Talker that sent me a DM because she didn't want you to see possibly the tweet.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe I haven't recommended this yet. No. I can't believe I haven't picked this yet because it's terrible. Like, it's just terrible. And it's so lovey-dovey and the writing is horrible. Yeah, it'll be real. It'll make Stealing Home look like Out of Africa.
Now, Alexis, are you going to watch Creep 2? Because, you know, there's Creep 2.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's his next victim.
Oh,
they really? There's a second one?
Yeah, so now we know his true identity and everything about him. And I've heard he's not as good, but I got to watch it. Maybe I'll watch that this weekend.
Maybe I'll watch that instead of Con Air. Yeah, maybe I'll do that instead of Con Air.
You'll be freaked out. I mean, for a movie that's not gory at all, your imagination starts flying. Like, what is going to happen? And what is wrong with this guy? And what is wrong with the other guy to want to just keep coming back for more?
He's so dumb. And that's what's great about horror movies. You have to write people making dumb decisions because it drives the audience crazy. It's actually a technique. It's something that you do, like a girl who, you know, just trips as she's running and just like, oh, she goes the wrong way, or they all separate from each other. They always do that.
Oh, right.
Like, okay, you go that way, and I'll try to find a way out this way. You're like, stick together.
Yeah. Oh,
Come on.
Yeah, if I was in that situation, I would never separate from my friends.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah, real life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to use for a human shield? I mean, bring your friends.
Exactly. You know,
I just realized something. Next week is Project Down and Dirty. I don't see how you're ever going to have the time to watch this.
Kenny, you're right. Thank you, Kenny.
Take a week off. That's a good.
Really good.
And then
Kenny?
Lex will be gone the following Friday, so you probably shouldn't do it that week either.
Whose side are you on, Kenny?
Wow. Well, now my day just turned around. Go out there and be yourself. Nobody can tell you're doing it wrong. Right, Lex?
That's right. You do you. Have a fantastic day, fantastic weekend. We love you so much, and we'll talk on Monday. Bye, friends.